Welcome to Foundation Church's weekly message. We hope you are equipped by this message from Pastor Tom Lapley. For more information about our church, please visit foundationchurchfl.com.
All right, this is the most dangerous church in America. The only reason being is that it's actually a real church. It's dangerous to preach the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Unless you're going to a church that pierces you and discerns you and challenges you, you're at the wrong place. See, all those amens, that's a good thing. That's Hebrews 4:12, by the way. So God dropped this message on me, and see, here's the thing. When I commit to a message series, it's just committed as far as whatever God tells me to preach. I don't pull my messages off of sermon.com. I'm not pulling them. I'm not preaching a sermon series that every other church in the area is preaching or every church around America under a certain banner is preaching. I pray over my messages and God gives them to me. And then sometimes God just drops them on me. So this is going to be, I guarantee you, this is going to be for you because God dropped it on me. Now, it doesn't mean it's not for me too, but I can guarantee you that he knew exactly who was going to be in this building and who was going to be watching online. And I can tell you that this message is for you. Be ready. Now listen, you're woo-hooing now. But we'll see if you're woo-hooing at the end. It is time to leap that one specific hurdle you've never leaped. And look at me now. You know what it is. See what I mean? So you got quiet now. It's time for you to cross that bridge that you've never crossed. Look at me again. And you know what it is. And it's time for you to defeat that adversary that you've never defeated and maybe never even engaged with, even though you know you're supposed to, and you know who or what it is, don't you? Don't you? Refusing to acknowledge it is not winning. Denying its existence is not defeating it. Living with it is not conquering it. You already know what it, or maybe it's thing or things, but you already know what number one is. And I didn't even give you guys this verse, even though really it's the predicate for this entire message today and may turn into a series. I never know. We're really in the middle of the real Jesus, and I've got the beginnings of sorrows to go through, the rapture to go through, the new heaven and new earth to go through, all with Jesus. But God interrupted, and God wanted this for you. Pay very close attention, because this time is ordained of God, and God Almighty, Yahweh, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, is speaking to you right now. Stop acting like you don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Ask your wife right now, she'll tell you. She'll tell you. Ask your husband. He'll tell you. If you have a really close friend who's not scared of you, ask him. Ask him. Don't act like you don't know, because you already do. And by the way, this is just as much for me as it is for you. I already know what mine is. And here's the thing. Here's that verse. Psalm 37:23. Everybody knows it. For the steps of a good man are what? Ordered. Now let's look at that word ordered for just a moment. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. If you walk in his ordered steps, he's delighting in it. If you are walking in hyper grace, I can do whatever I want, he's not delighting in it. Amen. And by the way, you're not going to heaven. Now let's look at that word ordered for just a minute. There's a lot of different avenues for that word ordered. First of all, it's a command. It is ordered. The steps of a righteous man are commanded. They're not optional. And the next part of it is they are actually put in order. In other words, there is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They are in order. They are commanded and they are put in order. Everybody wants to go to step five and they never took step one.
Say it again. Come on.
Everybody does. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Where is my ministry, Pastor? I don't know. Have you stopped being a jerk yet? Forget it. You can't even treat your wife well and you want to pastor a church. You can't even get a job and you want a booming missionary ministry. I'm called to be a missionary. No, you know, you're called to go work at McDonald's. You need to cross that bridge. People who refuse to work because they're just calling, I'm holding out for a managerial position. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? That's Luke 12, 26, by the way. That's Jesus talking. You don't despise the small beginnings, Matthew 25, 21. So there's a step in place right now. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But forget about the S for just a minute. What is the next step? The bridge you've never crossed, the hurdle you've never leaped, and the adversary you've never defeated. Stop looking anywhere past it. Told you to get quiet in here. Might not be a lot of laughs today. Unless I make fun of you or something. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. Familiar verses that very few people ever walk in. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That hurdle, that bridge, that adversary, there's the stronghold. And you know what it is. Some of you just don't show up when you tell people you're going to show up. God's told you to cross that bridge. You know, I'll be there today. And then you call at the last minute. Yeah, you know, something came up all the time. Whatever it is, there's those little things. That's that next step. There's probably a million steps. And Christians want to skip to 100,000 when they've never done one. You got it. This is why it's the most dangerous church in America. I could be preaching a powder puff message today. I can't. You can go find somebody who can preach it. I'd be bored out of my mind. This is what I love because I know what mine is. I hate that I'm 56 years old and I'm still living with a feces covered rhino in my house. And we all sit there and everybody pretends that it's not there. I'm not doing it. And just in case you're like, what the heck is it that is going on with Tom? Well, it's my own stuff it's got nothing to do. I'm not making my family live in hell or anything like that, but there are things, and I know what step one is, that I need to be overcoming that I have not. The only difference between me and many Christians is I acknowledge it. I acknowledge it. Casting down imaginations. So here the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons are found, and we'll go there in just a minute, in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. But here's step one. Here's what you're going to have to do. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. For some people, they can never get over, I have to be in a relationship. As they pop into my head, I'm just going to bring them out there. I have to be in a relationship. You need to cast down that imagination. A lot of people, even with that, even though they're married, they have to be in a relationship. What on earth do you mean? If your husband goes to church, you go. If he doesn't go, you don't go. And vice versa. Listen, you're not going to be married in heaven. That's the Bible. And you need to be setting examples, not following somebody who should not be leading. If your wife or your husband is always perpetually offended and they go in and out of churches for various stupid reasons, you need to stop following them and get up and go to church, the one you're called to. There's a lot of people that are either watching this right now because a lot of Foundation Church refugees, they still spy on the church. Why? Listen, why'd you even leave? You're gonna spy on me, you're gonna steal my stuff. Why do you even leave? You can't get, listen, you're never gonna get past being offended if you endlessly give into it. What if I was like that and I ebbed and flowed at this church with offense? Well, I'm going to preach this week because I wasn't offended. I'm not going to preach this week because I am offended. And if you ever actually broke down people's offenses and you actually talked to them, once you start talking about your offense, you sound like a freaking lunatic. You sound like a 12-year-old girl in seventh grade in middle school. Unless somebody's come up and punched you in the mouth, get over it. I get it. People badmouth me all the time. You just have to get over it. Whatever it is that your next step is. Like I said earlier, it may just be that, you know what? You're a condescending jerk. You're arrogant. Maybe you never stop talking about yourself and you think someday that's going to be considered to be a good thing. It never will be. It's going to break through someday. Maybe you're weird. Someday it's going to break through and people will really understand what a virtue that is. No, we won't, and you're 58. Some people, it's as easy as this. Go find a job. Stop living off the government teat. Now. I love these alleged Trumpsters in the church. I love them. You know, it's amazing. Conservative this, conservative that, MAGA, 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 and you're living off the government teat because you have depression. Why haven't you taken all your thoughts captive, made them obedient to Christ? Amen. Why is that exactly? I thought you were supposed to cast down those imaginations. Wait till I get to tithing in a little bit. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's probably your very first step. When you're about to do that thing that you have never conquered, or you're about to not do the thing you're supposed to do that you've never conquered, the thoughts are working potentially against you. You need to take that thought captive. I'm about to lie and bail out of another appointment. Take that thought captive. Make it obedient to Christ. God is a God of the specific. He doesn't operate in these vast generalities. You ever notice how disgusting the generalities are in America now? Everybody on the left calls people like me a Nazi. Or Donald Trump is destroying democracy. Tell me exactly how. He's destroying democracy. Give me a list. And give me a list of exactly how it is that I'm a Nazi. You're the one who butchers 40 million unborn children per year. That's Nazi-esque. You're the one who does medical experimentations on children, lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts of 15-year-olds. You do that. You give them Lupron. I don't. You ban speech. I don't. You confiscate firearms. I don't. That's all Hitler-esque, and I don't have anything in common with him. But you give me a vast generality of, you are a Nazi. You're a threat to democracy. Exactly how? Because I want forensic audits of elections, I'm a threat to democracy? Isn't that the very essence of democracy? Because I question an election makes me a threat to our institutions and our democracy? Isn't that the essence of democracy? To question our institutions and our elections? Right? These vast generalities, don't you live in those? Well, you know, I love Jesus. Not good enough. You got quiet. Why are you quiet? You knew what you were getting when you came in here. Those of you that are new, I'm telling you, all you need to do is hang on. There ain't nothing else. You can go to candy-coated churches all around here. That's all you. All you'll do is they will accommodate the bridge and the adversary and the hurdle that you've never defeated. They'll just have you sit right underneath the hurdle. Oh, you know what? God loves you. Generalities. It's not how it works. Is that how Jesus worked? Did Jesus operate in generalities? Let's look. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 18. Jesus counsels the rich young ruler. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" "Oh, just love me." Is that what he said? That's what everybody operates in. Fresh starts and new beginnings. If I say it with a nice southern swarmy voice, "I'd just like to welcome all the visitors today. If you just kind of sense an emptiness in your spirit, I just want to offer everybody today a fresh start and a brand new beginning." How many of you attended churches like that? You know you did. Never, ever go back. Don't. They will steal your kids from you and destroy your witness. People wonder, why is it that my kids have strayed? Because you raised them in a lukewarm church. Is that training up a child in the way he should go? But they have this thing they sing. They sang, "You make me brave." Doesn't matter. It's the word that counts. Are they preaching the word? Is the Holy Ghost in the room? Holy Ghost can't be in the room unless you're preaching the word. The Holy Ghost only reflects that which he's already heard. So he asked the rich young ruler, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder." This is very specific, is it not? "Do not steal. Do not bear false witness." Well, Tom, I can't operate in the specific because I don't know anything. Well, start reading the Bible. I know that's not a sexy statement. It's not going to sell conference tickets. Tom Lipley Conference 2025. Read the Bible. Instead, we want to have guitars and music and whatever, dancers and prancers and morons and whatever else. Read the Bible. I don't know what to do. It's in there. It's easy now. All you got to do, you can go to BibleGateway.com and put in the keyword, tithe. Put in the keyword, struggle, whatever it is that you want. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And the rich young ruler said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "All right, no problem." I'm adding some words in here. American vernacular. "You still lack one thing." Wait a minute. I thought that it was all generalities. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Jesus is with you in the midst of the struggle. You don't think he has a solution to the struggle? A very specific solution to the struggle? And what that solution is will be for you to take step one. Sometimes step one in the midst of the struggle is simply James 4:2. Ask. Yeah, you have not because you? Well, nobody asks. Next verse is, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Well, do you have wrong motives? Yeah. Lord, send me a man. Stop praying that freaking prayer. That is an Acts 1:7 event. Times or seasons which he's put in his own authority. Why is it so quiet in here? Single people don't want it. They want to go hunt. I'm going to go hunt. I'm going to go on this website or that website. That's a great idea. Let's operate in the realm of fraud. I'll put myself on whatever. I don't even know what they're called. What's a dating website? Christian Mingle. I'll put myself on Christian Mingle. Christian Mingle. 6'2" and single. Whatever. So you put your. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna be on one of these dating websites, right? And I'm gonna put myself down as 6'2", 170. I'll be looking like this. I got Aaron. Aaron can make me look however I want to look. I'm going to operate in the realm of fraud. Why don't you operate in the realm of the Holy Ghost and yield and say, "Lord, whenever it is the time or the season for me to date and or get married, which is his decision." There are some things that you must claim. most things you have to claim. There are other things that are times and seasons which the Lord has put in his own authority, and that is one of them. So stop hunting. You like to hunt because it's titillating to your flesh. It's carnal. You can always be on the hunt, and it'll provide plenty of distraction from read the Bible. It's way more fun to flirt. Fantastic. How's that work for you so far? Are you happy? Are you? I mean, can we all just be honest? People that need to answer that question. Are you happy? You need to answer. No, I'm miserable. People need to say it out loud. No, I'm miserable. That next guy, that next woman has not made me happy. And by the way, they never will. If you think marriage is a panacea of happiness, you've lost your mind. Here's the thing. Someday I'm going to get married. Well, you know, the whole thing is that many churches, you remember we preached this before, is they pimp marriage as if it is a panacea. But scripture says exactly the opposite. It is good for a man not to marry. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life. That's just the Bible, 1 Corinthians 7:1 and 7:28. Well, Tom, you're married. Yeah, you know what? I waited for the right person to just basically walk into the church. And then I didn't give her attributes she didn't have, and I didn't take away attributes or detriments that she did have. People, he's my best friend. What? I've been around you two. You're either hating each other, arguing, or not speaking. He's my best friend. People just don't operate in the realm of reality and truth. Oh, it's their anniversary on Facebook. To my bride of 24 years, who is the most wonderful, beautiful woman that I've ever met in my life. I know you. I know your marriage. Why are you a lie prostitute? You are just a prostitute for deception. Why? Just be honest. You're going to put it out there and say, you know what? It's our anniversary today. Man, it's been hell. Whew. Glad we're still married. Bible says don't get divorced, and that's the only reason why we're not. Happy anniversary, honey. I'd love that. You're my kind of person. I'll go out to dinner with you. You're entertaining. So the rich young ruler says, you know what? All these things I've kept from my youth. Jesus is specific because he's God, and God is specific, not general, not a mystery, nothing to figure out. You know the next step. How many of you already know it? Honestly, you know your next step, and you just won't take it. It's uncomfortable. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing, and that you have, and sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, here's that one step. It's all the step you got to take. Take the one step. Was it an Abraham and Isaac moment? Would he even make him sell all of the stuff? No. Doesn't matter. You going to take it or not? Abraham and Isaac was all about Abraham, not God. Abraham needed his heart to know how devoted he was, so God let him know. God knew he was going to be willing to sacrifice his son. Had nothing to do with, God, I'm surprised. You did it. He knew that was for Abraham. This was for the rich young ruler. To prove to the rich young ruler who he was. He's speaking to God. God already knew. Will you do it? Will you take that next step? You may think that it is the most inane, inconsequential thing, but it's God's ordered step. Will you do it? See how quiet it gets? God is a God of the specific. John chapter 4, 15 through 18, woman at the well. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I might, so that she'll never thirst again, the living water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. He's a God of the specific. He didn't have vast generalities. You need to get your heart right. No, here's the specific, right here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. He's dealing with her in the specific. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. He's specific. We think we surprise God by our iniquities and our failures. Oh, wow, you failed. He knows already. He can count them. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. He's dealing with her in the specific. Mark chapter 7, 9 through 13. For those that are new, this is what's supposed to be preached. It's called Read the Bible. Man made commandments. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban. That is, Corban is a gift to the temple and or a gift to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother. He's speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which ye have handed down, and many such like things do ye. What are they talking about here? Well, the Pharisees had created a very interesting system that benefited themselves, where you were supposed to basically store up your wealth or keep your wealth in place to help your parents. But the Pharisees came through and said, just make it a gift to God. In other words, a gift to the temple, so they got it. That's called Corban. That's what they did. Making the word of God of no effect to their tradition. How much more specific could Jesus get? They added, countless numbers of man-made, what are called in the Bible, Jewish commands to the law to benefit themselves. Jesus picked one because he knew that's what they needed to hear, that you are financially corrupt. That sounds like Capitol Hill. The entire United States, get ready now. The entire United States is all about forming NGOs that benefit politicians. That's all that it is, mainly Democrats. They form NGOs, non-government organizations. They give them, let's just make the math easy, $1 billion to clothe the children. Let's make up a country in Uzbekistan. So they have this NGO to clothe the children. They pay them $1 billion. They give them $1 billion. Here's your budget, $1 billion. And then it's fully staffed by Democrats, and they pay themselves $999 million to dispense $1 million. That's why we're $37 trillion in debt. That's it. Have you ever received a dollar out of the $37 trillion in our debt? Have you benefited at all, ever? I know the one time I actually needed the government, I needed them to pick up our hurricane waste in the back. They were called, they never did it. So we spent $8,000 doing it ourselves. That if we're gonna be $37 trillion in debt, we all ought to be living large. Because we all owe the entire country is about $200,000 a piece. I should have $200,000 in my pocket, making it rain. He's a God of the specific, so stop hiding behind generalities. Amen. God's got a plan and a purpose for me, and I'm just waiting to see how it all pans out. It's not gonna pan out ever, because his plan and his purpose is ordered in steps, that's his plan and purpose. And he doesn't take the step, you do. I'm financially strapped, it's because you don't tithe. You can't be financially strapped if you tithe. People are like, well, I am. That's because you got financially strapped first and then you started tithing. Now it takes God a while to dig you out. Revelation 2:2-4, the loveless church at Ephesus. Listen how specific he is. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those. Listen to the specifics here. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know that you can't bear those who do evil. You have tested those who are apostles and are not and have found them liars. How does Jesus know everything? Because he's God and he operates in the specific. Whatever that was over there, God bless you. It was either a leak that was sprung in a gas pipe or somebody that was sneezing. Or maybe a puppy barking. I don't know. One of the. And you have persevered and have patience. Listen to all these attributes and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. I'm not preaching about first love, but look at the specifics. Let's go to the persecuted church, Revelation 2:9-10, the church of Smyrna. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, that you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not, listen to this, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He operates in the specific. The compromising church, Revelation 2:12-16, the church of Pergamos. These things, says he who has the two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell. He knows your works, he knows where you dwell, and he knows the steps that he has ordered. And step number one is for you to stop rolling your eyes at your wife. I just don't understand why ministry doors don't open to me, because you're a jerk to your wife. I don't understand why ministry doors don't open to me, because all you do is watch TV. See how quiet it gets? I don't know why ministry doors don't open to me, because you haven't stopped drinking alcohol. Tom, it's not a sin to drink alcohol. Why don't you stop quoting that? You know what? Is it a sin to have a drink? No, it is not. But when something in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, calls it a rager and a mocker, you probably ought not to allow a rager and a mocker in your house. And the greatest of all prophets was who, according to Jesus? John the Baptist. And he specifically, Luke chapter 1, verse 15, it says he never drank any alcohol, never had any wine. And he's the greatest. Why would God call that an attribute? Why would God command Aaron and his sons to not drink alcohol if it's this great thing that is so permissible? Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. If it's not beneficial and it's not constructive, it's the opposite of both of those words. Destructive and not beneficial. And you're wondering, why won't doors open? Because you have to have your two Bud Lights a day. Why? If they don't actually medicate you in any way, shape, or form, why are you not having Pepsi? Same calories. Have a Coke. You're doing it for a reason. It medicates you. Whew. Quiet in here. See, it's my gift. You're like, Tom, we're trying to grow the church. You don't grow the church by compromise, folks. If you grow the church by compromise, that is the same as electing a Republican who votes as a Democrat. What's the point? What am I winning you to if I win you to my own compromised word? See? There's no need for ominous music. There's no need to be uptight. I know my order steps. I don't know every step, because thy word is a lamp unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my path. So I'm like, I wait, I stand in the word, I sit in the Holy Ghost, and I wait for the next illuminated step. That's what I do. You're welcome. Okay, that's one on the camera people now. Okay, I'm not going to say anything because I've already blown up the camera people. There's probably some reason it happened that I don't know, like last time, and I'm like, I'll keep my mouth shut. So look how specific he is to the church of Pergamos. I know your works, where you dwell. Works, where you dwell. Where do they dwell? Where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. God knows exactly what you're doing and what you're not doing. He knows that next ordered step, and by the way, you do too. Tom, you keep saying that over and over again. Yes, I'm trying to goad you into taking it. Instead of spending the rest of your life claiming revival's coming when it's not. Revival doesn't come. You ever noticed it? Someday God's gonna send a sweeping revival over Southwest Florida. I've heard that preached. I've been living here since 1980. And I've heard that preached since 1987. And it's never happened. Do you know why? Because all of us Christians never take the next step. Well, I'm bipolar. No, you're not. No, you're not. All you've done is lump on yourself a curse that came of, it's a man-made. It's what's called in the Bible a Jewish commandment. Just made up. What you are is a carnal human being who doesn't know how to overcome. And you're like, Tom, you just never suffered at any level like that. Oh yes, folks. I've had anxiety attacks so bad that I couldn't remember. I've had anxiety attacks so bad that I walked onto a pulpit to preach and had no idea what my message meant. Because I had that anxiety attack fog. I had no idea. I'd written the message, wrote the message, typed out the message, had no idea what it meant. Now, am I diseased or is that my harvest? It's from seed that I've sown. Some of you wake up, oh, it's just a bad day today. You're supposed to cast down that imagination. And you just don't. And you wonder why. Revival will come to me someday. No, it won't. Have you noticed it hasn't? Decade after decade, it hasn't? Because it ain't coming. Because your steps are ordered and you refuse to go. You refuse to step out of that boat into the waves. You refuse it. You know you do. I'm not saying whether you, listen, if it's a sin thing, if it's you need to stop sinning, you're going to hell if you don't take the next step. Amen. Amen. You're lusting or you're lying. Commit adultery, either in your mind or actually. Whatever the sin is, gossip, bitterness. I just don't know why I have no ministry. Because you're all you are is an emotional, bitter man. You're not going anywhere because God says your step number one is stop being emotional and bitter. How many of you are drama queens and kings? Women get picked on with that. I've met more drama kings than queens. I've had to tell men before when I'm counseling them, stop crying. Amen. Stop your crying. Your crying is just a thinly veiled mirage. Because you know, you want to distract from your sin and your compromise from crying, with crying. So that we'll focus on your crying instead of your sin. Oh, I don't do that. Stop crying. I did that with my kids. Fake cry? My kids never fake cried because they fake cried once and that was the end of it. Stop crying. Some of you let your kids fake cry. I'll never understand that. I want to step in. I'm not going to do it. I've gotten in trouble for stepping in with that before. I'm not doing it, but I want to. I see your kid's fake crying. I'm like, you know that kid's, he's faking. Well, no, he's got a tear going down. Yeah, that was 5 minutes ago, and now he's faking it to milk it because maybe he'll get a Snickers bar on the way home. Okay, that's my desire. But anyway, it might be his. But you already know what it is. Maybe you never pray. Maybe you never study the word. Maybe it's very inconsistent. And inconsistency is the step that you need to take and make yourself consistent. Not sexy. Doesn't matter. It's ordered. How many of you ever look at the Bible? How many things were actually sexy to begin with? Walking around from town to town with sandals on? Dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Fasting for 40 days? Oh, I would just really feel it. No, you don't. Those days you have to push. You need to grind. Oh, Tom, every day you must just feel like doing what you do. Listen, I work 6 days a week, no matter what. And most of the days, most weeks, Hope will find something for me to do on Saturday. I have to tell her, make sure I don't have anything Saturday. That's for this Saturday right now. No Saturday. Oh, you always feel like doing what you do. I don't. Guys know I walk in the podcast, I don't feel like talking tonight. I tell the guys working, I don't feel like talking tonight. And they all laugh at me because they know I'm still going to talk the entire time. But so like today, I feel good, feel like preaching. There's days I walk in here, I don't feel like it. But you got to grind. You got to do pastoral duties that people don't want to. You like going to hospitals and visiting people? Especially during COVID, that was fun. I'm walking around, they're all staring at me like I'm carrying the bubonic plague because I ain't wearing no mask in the hospital either. I sat in an Inglewood ER waiting room. And I mean, it was packed and not one COVID patient, of course. Try not to lapse into that. That'll be 30 minutes. If I start talking about COVID, just watch. Somebody will get up and leave. Let's try. Let's do it. No, I'm just kidding. You know why? You know why? Because they can't admit they were wrong. That's their first step. Some of that's you. You can't admit you're wrong, can you? There's no fruit that you're right, but you can't admit that you're wrong. But you listen, some days you gotta grind. I sat in that emergency room. I sat in there, I'm literally packed. I don't know if any of you have been to the Inglewood ER emergency room. Pretty decent sized room. And I mean, it was wall to wall people. I'm in there and it's me and the woman whose husband I was going to visit. We were at only two in there not wearing a mask. And I'm sitting in there. And I remember walking through the hallways and literally the nurses were like. And that's where I missed cussing and various signals because that's what I wanted to give them all. I mean, okay, come on. As a healthcare professional, how do you do things that are antithetical to medical knowledge? I don't get it. I don't understand you. You know the mask does nothing. Why are you wearing it? I mean, you ever explain that stuff, play it to yourself? In the same way it is with those of you who are offended. Why do you talk about offense so much, Tom? Because that's what the Bible says. In the end times, many will be offended. And remember, scandalizo and scandalon. The offended become the stumbling block. I'm trying to remember which one's which. Don't hold me to either one. But those two words, look it up because I haven't looked at it for 2 weeks. But basically how it works is in the Greek, the offended becomes the offense. Because initially, the stumbling block causes the offense. And then the offended become the stumbling block to make others stumble. And that's many, listen, I want to make this clear to those of you that are watching online. I'm not talking about those of you who are watching online from out of state. I'm talking about you Foundation Church refugees who used to come in person, and now you sit here and spy, and you're hoping maybe I'll say something about you today. I am. You're a carnal little gossip. Who needs to repent? Because here's the thing. And they refuse their next step. And now they need to be entertained, so they turn on you. That's what happens. Well, they don't turn on me. They were talking about somebody else. You honestly think the person talking to you about somebody else is not talking about you behind your back? You really believe that? I thought once a cheater, always a cheater. People get married from adulterous affairs, and you trust the person that you married, that you met via an adulterous affair, to not commit adultery on you? But listen to how specific God is. Last church I'm going to do. Revelation chapter 2, 19 through 26, the corrupt church, the church of Thyatira. I know your works, your love, service, patience, faith. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. This is the corrupt church. That's because you have all these churches out there. They're out in the inner city doing some good stuff. You know, maybe feeding some homeless. Maybe, you know, distributing, you know, goods or services to people in the streets, whatever it may be, right here. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, how much more specific can God be? Who calls herself a prophetess. Anybody who calls themselves by a title, watch them. Watch them closely. Hello, my name is Apostle David Rich. You know how I introduce myself? Hey, I'm Tom. Listen, you want to call me pastor, feel free. I call my pastor. I always have. But I don't go around with some sort of title. I notice I see Travis over here. Travis started calling me, hey, Pastor Tom. I'm like, Travis, it's just the two of us. I've known you since you were 14. You threw up every single day at football practice. I was there. We all used to gather around it and figure out what it was that you had for lunch. Oh, chicken tender day. Had some corn. All did. It was actually an event. Every day we waited for Travis to throw up because he would. And then we'd all gather around and disseminate what it was that he had for lunch. Travis has known me and all of my failures. I have known him, and he really doesn't have many failures that I've seen. But anyway, really doesn't. One of the nicest people I've ever met, one of the most solid Christians I've ever met. But I'm just saying, we know each other in public. If we're in front of other people, he wants to use my title, he can. But when it's just the two of us, because he's so sweet, he's trying to be respectful. I'm like, Travis, it's me and you. It's Tom. But watch those people who tout their titles. What does that have to do with the message? Nothing. That's just free. Because Jezebel called herself, notice it didn't say that God called herself a prophetess. We'll be done in 16 minutes. Everybody good? To teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality. You see how big a deal sexual immorality is? In the church, modern church, outside of this one and a few others. And I mean a very few others. Most churches, you know what? You're failing right now. Just keep trying. I know you fornicated 784 times last year. I want you to try to fornicate. Let's break 700 this year. It's a big deal. And a lot of people think, well, you know what? I can't unring a bell. I've already given up my virginity or whatever it is. Not in God's eyes. And by the way, those are the only eyes that count. So if you just turn today and you say, you know what? No more men or women until I am married to the one that Acts 1:7 God has sent to me. It's it. But I need the closeness and the intimacy. No, you're just carnal and immature. If it filled all the voids, then why aren't you happy, completely and totally happy, whenever he or she is in your life? Ask, it's just the same thing as asking a medical professional, why are you wearing a mask? It makes no sense. Why do you continue to do things that don't make you happy in the name of making you happy? If you are sensing a homosexual tendency because of how you were raised, and that's how it works. No, I'm telling you flat out, can we all stop denying reality? People end up in perverted sexual situations, hetero or homosexual, because of how they were raised. Women endlessly sleep with men because they're looking for daddy. Tom, that is perverted. It's a fact. I never arrested one boy, one man who had a good dad, ever, in 25 years of law enforcement. They had just a great dad. Never, not once. I can't say man, I'll just, because I don't know the men, but the boys I knew, because I was a school resource officer. So I knew them. Not one of them had a good dad. So people end up in sexual perversions because of how they were raised or they were abused. You need to take those thoughts captive. Take that next. It doesn't matter what your biochemistry is telling you. That can all be turned around if you take the first step. Cast down that imagination, that high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, whatever situation you're in. Well, Tom, I'm just a moody old cuss. That's just because you're carnal and you don't pray, you don't study, you don't tithe, you miss church. That's why you are that way. You just give into it all the time. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, back to the church of Thyatira, who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent. Listen to this specificity. And she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. We don't talk about that in our church. That's because you preach a Pharisaic Jesus. This is Jesus. Tom, you just said, just reminds me of an old worship leader I had, got so offended because I preached John chapter 2, verse 15. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Tom comes up to me after service. You just told people that Jesus whips people. I said, that is correct. You know why I preached that? Because Jesus whipped people. I'm sorry that violates your idyllic idea. And I mean that by idolatry. I'm sorry that violates your idol Jesus that you have made up in your mind so that you can win people to it. Again, why bother? Look how full our church is. Yeah, it's because you water the word down. It's repentance-free Christianity. So all qualify. But we're told in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified. We won't even use the word disqualify. We'd never say that God would cast anybody into a sick bed. Do you know why I just preached that Jesus will cast people into sick beds? Because it says right here, Jesus cast them into sick beds. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You ought to be afraid about what you're sleeping with. Tom, you preach, this is how it gets conflated. You preach no fear, Tom. Well, I preach no fear to those who are in Christ. You're sleeping with your girlfriend, you are not. You ought to be in fear. Because whatever you're sleeping with is every person she's ever slept with. And she's sleeping with you, so obviously she's not very discerning. You're welcome. This is all, this, just so you know, this is all Bible. This is how you're going to be judged anyway. You can be mad at me as you want. Same judgment's coming. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, Hebrews 9:27, it's going to happen. You can be as mad at me as you want. But I'm lonely. I have needs that must be fulfilled. Is that what you're going to tell God in the day of judgment, the great white throne judgment? God, halt! Jesus, halt the angels. The reason why I was a habitual fornicator, drunkard, or whatever it is I had needs. Oh, well, you know what? Let's just cancel the great white throne judgment because Joe Blow had needs. And listen, I'm chief among sinners myself. The only difference is when I sin, I'm like, oh, my Lord, I have sinned against you. Forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin and I will never, ever go back. That's repentance. Not, I'm going to try really hard, God. Those aren't Bible verses. Look at the consequences of it. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, lest they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. You know why nobody preaches this? Right out of Joshua 24:15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. That's why. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's all anybody preaches out of Joshua 24:15. It's a huge verse. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the entire verse. But everybody skips the hard parts because you know what? It would seem evil to preach this in a church. I will kill her children with death. That's not Jesus. That is Jesus. That is him. You've made him in your own carved image. That's him. He operates in the specific. And he is the God that can do whatever his covenant allows him to do because he's put himself under it. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds. And I will give to each one according to your works. It is time. It's closing 8 minutes. It is time. See how specific I am? I'm living what I'm preaching. I don't want you to squirm around. I want you to know there's a time limit here. There is, in my own mind. I'm not saying every time there's a time limit. I want you to know I'm planning on stopping in 7 minutes from right now. So you need to hone in. It is time to leap the hurdle you've never leaped. I don't care if you're 80. You're supposed to live to 120 anyway. You got 40 years to go. Well, it's too old. I've already given in, so I've let myself age. All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ask and it shall be given you. Matthew 7:7. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14. Well, my teeth fell out. Pray them back in. I don't care. Everyone, again, it's things that make no sense, like the mask. Amen, hallelujah, yes, God will do it. And then you never, ever pray for the miraculous because it's impossible. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Mark 10:27. It is time, look at me now, 6 minutes to go. For you to hurdle the hurdle you have never, ever gotten over. Cross the bridge you've never crossed. Defeat the adversary you've never defeated. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking captive of every thought and making it obedient to Christ. What are those weapons? Here's where we'll finish. Ephesians 6:10-18. What are those weapons? It's specific. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The greatest of all kings was who? The greatest prophet was who? John the Baptist. The greatest king, greater than anybody before him or after him, was who? Say it out loud. No. Somebody say it loud. let Skylar say it really loud. Josiah. Now I'm not blasting you people. I'm really not, but you should know that because you should know his attributes. What made him great? What made him great? He did what nobody else would do. What did he do? Right here. What did he do? Do you see how general we are? Don't be general. Be specific. It is an ordered step. Some of you need to stop being sad. Some of you need to stop being depressed. Some of you need to stop being a jerk. Some of you need to start tithing. It's specific. I didn't even preach this, and I meant to preach it. The rich young ruler, why did he not follow Jesus? 4 minutes to go. Why did he not follow Jesus? Because money was his idol, right? You tithers have a rich young ruler spirit. You non-tithers 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 have a rich young ruler spirit. Oh, there's another pastor going after my money. I don't even take an offering. I'm not gonna, listen, we've got great singers. I could have Kristen come up here and sing You Make Me Brave Again for an offering. I don't do any of that, do I? It's for you. It's not from, God's already taken care of me. I have a great life. I really do. I have a great life. It is great. Okay, it doesn't mean I don't struggle. At times I do. I'm just telling you, I have a great life. I'm not after your money. I'm after you prospering. Amen. And you ain't gonna prosper unless you take that first step. Oh, that's part of the law. See how you're general? You don't even understand anything. Don't let me forget about Josiah. Or Skylar, don't let me forget about Josiah. You don't even understand. You live in the general instead of the specific. He has a specific order step for your financial prosperity. Number one is give 10% of all of your money. That's old covenant. No, it's not. It predates the old covenant. It's the Abrahamic covenant of which we are now a part of. The covenant of faith. You don't believe me? It's Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20. From the order of Melchizedek. Really like the first tither. And what was Jesus called? The priest in the order of Melchizedek. And people, as Christians, don't tithe because they call it old covenant. I'm not even taking an offering. Don't worry. I'm not doing anything. I don't know who tithes in this room and who doesn't. I don't know who the number one tither in the church is. I have no idea. Hope and Heather do the books. I have no idea. That's why I don't go up to the biggest tither. Oh, you know, we're so glad you're here. When we were purchasing this building, I prayed, I said, God, I want to have $1 million in the bank before I write that check for $750,000, because we had to put down $750,000 on this building. So I said, Lord, but I want $1 million because I knew the amount of work that we're gonna have to put in the building. Of course, then Ian blew away all the work we did. But anyway, and then we've done it again. But did it twice. That's called supplication. So anyway, that's a joke. But anyway, so I prayed. I said, Lord, and some of you heard this story before, some of you haven't. I said, Lord, I want $1 million before. And God said to me, very clearly, very clear. I mean, it could not be any clear. Tom, audibly? No, but it's more clear than audible. It's like this message. When God dropped it on me, I'm like, okay, God. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to preach that. I don't want to preach this today. I had something else in mind. And I was like, no. No. I said, so Lord, I want that million. I want $1 million because I want to have hundreds of thousands to put into the building. And I don't like being close. I'm a very financially conservative person. I like to have backup. And God said, no problem. You need to sow a seed. And I said to him back, what seed? He said, 10%. I was like, 10%. He goes, you want, because what we needed to get to $1 million at that time was $100,000, $150,000. We needed $150,000. We had $850 in the account. And he says, so sow a seed. I said, I said to God, I'll think about it. See, I'm not general. I'm gonna talk to God. I'm going to talk to him. If I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to say, God, I'm going to do it. I'm scared of God. I'm not going to tell God I'm going to do something I'm not going to do. So I said, I'll think about it. So I did. I finished my walk. He told me specifically, send $15,000 to Jonathan Shuttlesworth. And I said, I'll think about it. The bold man of God. I'll think about it. So I went back, my very difficult life that I live, I went in my hot tub. And Hope was like, you know, putting a Slurpee in my mouth every couple minutes with a straw. Another sip. Sip. I'm just kidding. Sip. I got that in my head now. That's good. I got her like in a Princess Leia outfit, you know. Sip. It's great. Woo. So I'm in there. I'm in the hot tub. I get out. I open the door to Hope. I say, we got to send Jonathan $15,000. Send him $15,000. So you know I'm done now. There you go. I got you. But there you know. So it's almost over. So we sowed $15,000. Woman comes and flies in from Dallas, Texas. Flies in, lands, comes to our church, writes a check for $200,000, puts in the offering, flies back to Dallas. Never met her in my life. That's how it works. The reason why Josiah was the greatest of all greats was because he, I want to read it to you before so I got it right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in, he's the only one who went to the high places. And the only way for you to tear down the high places is to take step one. That's it. Message is done. Amen. Worship team, make your way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to get right with God, now is your time. Now is your moment. Today, 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For those of you who have never been saved, let me just define what saved means. Saved simply means forgiven of all sin. How are you forgiven of sin? Through joining Foundation Church and becoming a fan of Pastor Tom? Absolutely not. How your sin is removed from you is it has to be put on somebody else. It's like government spending. It's not free. Somebody's paying for it. And it's the same thing with Jesus. He was spotless and never needed to physically die, but he died for you, went to hell for you, became a sinner for you so that God would not consider you to be a sinner. So you take all of your sin and you lump it on to him and you sin no more. That is faith. Part of faith is sinning no more. So if you need to get right with God today, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Or maybe you are saved and you've fallen away. Falling away does not mean, you know what, I sinned on the way to church today. Falling away means a concession to long-term sin. You just said, you know what, I can't stop sinning. I'm going to stay in sin. It's a concession to sin, not a struggle with it. That's backslidden. That's apostasy. It's a dangerous place to be. You will get to the place where you can hear God's voice no more. That's the unpardonable sin. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. People don't know this like they should, but I love you and I love people and I want you to be saved. Nothing else will matter to you at that great white throne judgment, except for, am I covered by the blood of the Lamb? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're ready to receive salvation, or ready to receive rededicating your life to Christ, now is your time. Right where you are at, I'm gonna ask you to do one thing. You will never leave your seat. You're not coming to the front. I'm not gonna embarrass you. Nobody's gonna know but me, you, and God. You're just gonna pray a prayer right where you're seated with everybody else. That's it. So it's easy. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. If you're ready to commit your heart to the Lord today, ready to commit your life to the Lord today, ready to be born again, right where you are seated, stretch your hand into the air, right where you're at, right now. I got you. I got you. Lots and lots of hands are going up. Come on. Come on. There you go. You put them down. There you go. Those of you that lifted your hands, the entire church is going to pray this with you. You pray it directly to God and you mean it and you are saved. Everybody together, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins, and I now turn from them, and I give you my life from this day on, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen to this now, before you go, it's only 12:22. It's 12:22, before you go, I'm gonna preach for another 10 minutes, I'm kidding. Here's the thing, before you go, how many of you, like, you know what, I want to take that first step. I wanna take that first step. But you know what, I don't know. I honestly don't know if I can do it. How many of you feel that way right now? How many of you will boldly say that right now by lifting your hand up? Lift your hand up. Okay, you put it down. Pray with me. Lord, for those that wanna take that first step right now, Lord, I just lift them up to you. I lift them up to you, they're bold. They lifted up their hand, there was a lot of them. Pray over them right now, because this is it. There's nothing else matters in life but God's first step. Nothing matters but him, nothing. It's vanity of vanities. What counts is that first step. For those that lifted up their hands, empower them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Empower them by your Spirit to take that first step, because they're gonna see, once they do, they're gonna see this world light up. They're gonna have revelation they've never seen before. Give them that power, give them that strength, not to take that step tomorrow, but to take it today. In Jesus' name, amen. So be it and amen. Praise you, Lord. Are we ready? Get some out of that? Amen. Stand with me, praise you, Lord, today. If you need prayer before you go today, I will pray over you. I just need to wait till I get done saying hey to everybody. That'll be about 10 minutes from now. There's also prayer warriors on either side of the stage. Also, lots of food in the back. It's for free. Stay and eat. Every hand in the air. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I pray over my brothers and sisters this week, Lord. I pray you give them divine revelation of that first step. And Lord, when they take it, pour out your blessings upon them, Lord, in ways that they could not even have the room to receive. In Jesus' name, the greatest week of our lives. And the church shouts, so be it. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Foundation Church has a mission to preach the word, win the lost, and disciple believers. You can expect Holy Spirit-led worship and a message that will leave you equipped and empowered. Become a part of what we're doing by investing today as we continue to fight for the truth, be the restraining, and bring hope for the hopeless.